Everybody ready? This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy, your born and raised Texas energy provider. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
All right, second hour with Phil Steele in the on-deck circle. Sports news of the day, no, not really. Astros the day off, lost a game to the A's last night, not head-to-head, but in the standings. So the Astros are four up with 10 to play. That is an overwhelmingly commanding position to hold on and win the American League West. If they do, Astros postseason begins 2 weeks from tomorrow. Indians at Minute Maid Park. And would, could, or should A.J. Hinch actually consider benching Carlos Correa in the playoffs? Not a conversation for now, but we'll have time to get to it. Let me preface... just direct on-air message. Sean, I promise, right, we're going to Phil Steele here. I see you there. I will get you in between Phil and Ken Hoffman if you want to get back at the bottom of the hour. But it is Thursday. It is college football preview time. And so with that, we welcome Phil Steele. How are you?
Hello, Charlie.
There
are
we
you
go.
There?
I am here.
Awesome.
All right. A bunch of games to get in, so let's get to it. Urban Meyer actually coaches this week. Will this be a chastened, sensitive, let's make sure we hold the score down to reasonable numbers, Urban Meyer, or in what is obviously a colossal talent mismatch, the Buckeyes cover 37 against the Green Wave.
Yeah, you know, this one with the coming off a big game against TCU like they had last week, they've got a monster game on deck, a whiteout situation versus a top 10 team in Penn State. And now you have to defend the option on your week in between. And while Tulane lost to UAB last week by 7, I like how they're moving the football. Jonathan Banks looking pretty good at QB this year. They played within 6 of Wake Forest. Probably could have won that game to open up the season. So I'm going to have to take the heavy points there with Tulane, even though Ohio State can score and score at will. I got to think that this is clearly a C game and a major sandwich game for the Buckeyes.
One West Coast game I want to get to, Phil. Southern Cal off getting trampled in Austin. The Trojans are favored 3.5-4 points over Washington State. Mike Leach's Cougars 3-0, all blowouts, different level of competition. But what do you see there? I mean, from when we started up, you've said that Pac-12 South is a muddle. Well, what about Washington State from the north against the Trojans?
I clearly like USC in this game for a number of reasons. First of all, I like the fact that JT Daniels has now gone on the road, taking on two top-notch defenses. I mean, Stanford and Texas, both top 20 Ds. And while they lost those games by a combined score of 54-17, they actually were only out first down by 2 first downs, out gained by 40 yards per game. So it's not like they were completely dominated. I thought the blocked field goal for a touchdown was big in the Texas game last week. Now you get USC back at home. They have taken on much tougher competition. As you mentioned, Washington State's only faced Wyoming, San Jose State, and Eastern Washington. And you've got the revenge factor going on. Last year, at the end of the first quarter, USC was down 3 offensive linemen, lost a close game against Washington State on the road. I think it's almost a must-win situation for Coach Elton. They got the better team at home, played the tougher schedule, playing with revenge. I'm going to go with USC to get that one at home.
All right, Phil, Big Ten, it still sounds good. Michigan against Nebraska. Well, the Huskers off losing to Troy. Scott Frost still looking for win one. Nebraska 0-2, first time since the 50s. I know Troy won at LSU last year, but come on. Wolverines given 17.5.
And to me, this one depends on Taylor Martinez at quarterback, or excuse me, Adrian Martinez at quarterback for Nebraska. Martinez quarterbacked in the opener. They played a pretty good game. They actually outgained Colorado by 170 yards. He missed last week, and even though he missed last week, they outgained Troy by 111 yards. They had a 22-12 first down edge in that game, but came up short. So they're not playing bad football, but if they don't have Martinez at quarterback and they're going with a walk-on bunch against that Michigan defense, I'd probably lean a little bit with Michigan, but my hesitation would also be Jim Harbaugh's not a very good home favorite. Look at last week against SMU. You know, SMU came into that game with 22 first downs in their first two games. They had 22 first downs against that vaunted Michigan defense. So I would probably lean a little bit with the underdog, especially if Martinez is able to go a quarterback.
All right, Wisconsin-Iowa. I think that's the Big Ten game of the week. The Badgers off getting stunned at home by BYU. At the outset of the season, you thought, if not whiskey, it's Iowa in that division. The Hawkeyes have their chance at home, getting a field goal.
Yeah, and you have to like Iowa's chances. If Iowa wins this game, they basically win the Big Ten West because they would have the game-breaker against Wisconsin. The only other game that will be an underdog is at Penn State. They're playing great defense. They're giving up just 208 yards per game on the season this year. And you know they're fired up at night in Kinnick. 2 years ago, they knocked off number two Michigan. Last year, Penn State needed a touchdown pass on the final play of the game to win by one. They beat the Buckeyes 55-24 in their other games against top five teams at home. So there's a lot of factors in Iowa's favor. The factors not in their favor is that Wisconsin's pretty much dominated the line of scrimmage against them the last 2 years. Last year, they had a 382-66 yard edge. Iowa scored 14 points, but both were off interception returns for touchdowns. They had just five first downs. 2 years ago here in Kinnick, Wisconsin had a 423-236 yard edge. Once again, got the victory in that one. And Paul Christ has lost seven times in Wisconsin. In the next game following a loss, he's a perfect 7-0 against the spread. I think Wisconsin's a better team. Prior to the season, they would have been a 10-point favorite. Now they're only a 3-point favorite. Even though it's Kinnick, even though it's night, I'm going to lean with Wisconsin.
To the SEC, there's going to be one very angry fan base after Florida-Tennessee. Gators on the road, favored by 4.5, 5 points. Lost their SEC opener, double digits at home to Kentucky. And the Vols just want something to feel good about with Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah, well, at least Tennessee's coming off a couple of victories. Granted, it was East Tennessee State and arguably the worst FBS team in UTEP. And before, when they took on a real team, they lost to West Virginia 40-14. Florida was bad in that game against Kentucky. I mean, I thought Kentucky controlled the line of scrimmage against them, which surprised me. Other than that, Florida's played pretty well, coming off a good win last week against Colorado State 48-10. I think Florida's got the better team. Prior to the season, I had them on my number one most improved team in the country. A little shaken by that loss to Kentucky, but I still feel if you look at these two teams and compare them talent-wise one by one, you got to give the edge to Florida. So even though this game's in Knoxville, Tennessee fans will be fired up. I'm going to go with the Gators to go in there and come out with the win.
ACC opener for Clemson, giving 16.5 at Georgia Tech, triple option. What do you think?
I love Clemson's defensive front seven against the triple option. And all you have to do is take a look at what they've done against Georgia Tech the last couple of years. Last year, they held them to 230 yards and 10 first down, and most of those yards came on a late garbage touchdown. 2 years prior to that here at Georgia Tech, they held them to 124 yards and 11 first downs total for the game. The year prior to that, 230 yards, 12 first downs total. Does Dabo Swinney and that defense know how to prepare for the option? The answer is yes. Now, the option has an advantage. And that is on weeks that you play them, you only have 1 week to prepare for the option. Well, guess what Clemson faced last week? They faced the option of Georgia Southern. And how'd they do? Georgia Southern had a grand total of 30 total yards at the half. This is Clemson's best defensive line since Swinney's been there. I like Clemson, even on the road, to get this one and just shut down that Georgia Tech option.
Back to the SEC. Georgia at Missouri. How much live dog in the Tigers?
I'm going to say not much. I mean, first of all, Georgia really impressed me with that game against South Carolina. I was one of those guys that was out there saying South Carolina is going to give them a great game. And then it's 41-10 in the fourth quarter, and Georgia's dominant. And now they're going on the road to Missouri. And Missouri's got some stats. I tell you what, Drew Locke has an amazing touchdown-to-interception ratio in his career. 82 touchdown passes, just 32 interceptions. My problem with that stat is that when he's taken on a Power 5 team that goes to a bowl game, he's got 22 touchdowns and 23 interceptions versus everybody else, all the Group of 5 and non-winning Power 5 teams. He's got a 60 8-9 ratio. Let me check and see if I've got Georgia going to a bowl game this year. Oh, yeah, I do. So I think he's going to struggle a little bit against this Georgia team. The last three times Missouri has faced a Power 5 team with a winning record at home, they've lost by 29 points per game. And this is a Missouri team that won all their games down the stretch last year, but none of the teams even had a winning record. I like Georgia to get this one as comfortably as they got the South Carolina win.
Phil, Auburn and Arkansas, I know it's a dramatic style shift from Bielma to what Chad Morris wants to do, but at home, losing to North Texas 44-17, Razorback fans must be in utter despair. Auburn should show up in a great mood after losing to LSU. It is on the plains. Auburn giving 30 in a conference game.
Yeah, and I understand it, because if you've played Arkansas the last 2 weeks, there's no way you're betting on them this week. And like you said, Auburn off a loss at home should be able to roll. But I'll look at those two losses. I mean, Arkansas had an 18-point edge in the fourth quarter against Colorado State and blew it. Last week they had that what seemed like a trick play punt return touchdown where he didn't signal for the fair catch but acted like it was one and they ran for the TD. North Texas only had a 336-yard edge. So as much as you like to think Auburn's going to roll, let's face it, the spread's been adjusted. Auburn probably would have been about a 17-21-point favorite. Now they're laying over 30. And I haven't seen Auburn's offense be all that productive. So I'm going to give the slightest lean to the underdog there, take the generous points based on last week's totals.
All right, we get an hour version of halftime. Another busy board of games with Phil, TCU, Texas, Alabama, Texas A&M among them.
This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
Back half of the weekly college football preview with Phil Steele, who you can find at his own website all over ESPN and elsewhere. Phil, spell it out.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Charlie. You know, tomorrow morning on my website, philsteele.com, I will have a Phil Steele Plus thing, which gives you a lot of inside information, takes you through it. So go to philsteele.com tomorrow morning for the Phil Steele Plus blog, and you'll get a whole bunch of great information there. Also, my weekly newsletter is available on InsideThePressBox.com. That is InsideThePressBox.com. I break down every single game on the board. Plus, you get my computer's projection on every game. Yards rushing, yards passing, points. You'd be amazing how accurate these stats are. And you get my personal take on every single game. If you use the code word REDZONE, you can get half off this week's issue or $20 off your season rate. That is InsideThePressBox.com, InsideThePressBox.com.
All right, Phil, LSU, of course, will beat Louisiana Tech pending a shocker. But off that win at Auburn, any chance it stays inside the 21?
Yeah, I think it does. When you look at Louisiana Tech, they're a better team than most folks think. They play very well as an away dog in non-conference games, and LSU's in a large flat spot here. Remember 2 weeks ago off their big win over Miami of Florida, they played Southeast Louisiana. And while they won the game 31-0, I think they had one offensive drive that was 42 yards. That was their top one. They had a Hail Mary pass before the half. And they needed a touchdown with about 2 minutes to go to make it 31-0. Louisiana Tech's a much better team than Southeast Louisiana. I think it's your typical flat spot for LSU. I'm taking the 3 touchdowns in that one.
Big 12, West Virginia giving 16 to Kansas State. I know you love Snyder, but an egg lay against Mississippi State, now going to Morgantown.
Yeah, the only big difference here, as you mentioned, Snyder is 16-4 as an away dog. It's almost money. Is that in that Mississippi State game, they just got out physical. Mississippi State took their big old offensive line, big old defensive line, big quarterback, big running back, and they just wore them down. They ran the ball for 384 yards, 9.8 yards per carry, and a lot of that was after contact, pushing the Kansas State players down the field. Kansas State's more of a speedier defense. They're built to stop the pass. In fact, they're number 4 in my pass D rankings right now. Oh, and that's what West Virginia does. They're more of a passing team. Will Greer's got a couple of 1,000-yard receivers in Jennings and Sills, and they like to throw the football all over the field. So I think K-State matches up better. If you look at the series history, I believe West Virginia's biggest win ever, and they only have two of them with Holgorsen against Snyder, is by 5 points. Now they're laying 16 at home. I got to go with K-State plus the points in that one.
All right, Phil. Oklahoma State, very impressive in slapping Boise State. The Cowboys up to number 15 in the country. Texas Tech hanging 63 on U of H last week. Cowboys favored 14 in Stillwater.
Remember all those quarterback question marks coming into the year? Will it be McClain Carter? Will it be Jet Duffy at the quarterback position? Well, the true freshman, Alan Bowman, sure has answered it. A huge game last week, 605 yards passing for Tech. And I think they can move the ball on the Oklahoma State team. And Oklahoma State's coming off a game against Boise where they blocked not one, but two blocked punts for touchdowns. Now, that was a big part in winning the game by 23 points. In fact, they only had an 8-yard edge in the game, got out first down 23-19. So I think Oklahoma State comes in a little overrated. I'm still scratching my head a little bit about that Texas Tech-Mississippi game to open up the year, but I think the true Texas Tech showed up last week. I'm going to take the generous points with Texas Tech.
All right, who is the lightweight champion of the Big 12, Baylor or Kansas?
I'm going to say Baylor gets that one at home. Now, Baylor's not impressed me at all in any of their three games so far this year. But when I talked to Coach Rule in the spring, he said they did expect to get to a bowl game. The Abilene Christian game, they did what they had to. 10 late points against UTSA. And then last week against a banged-up Duke team, ended up getting down at the half 23-0. But I still think they're the stronger team. They're at home. And when these two played last year, Baylor won it comfortably, 38-9. They still have the talent edge. They're at home in a desperate situation. And Kansas getting a lot of acclaim across the country for two wins. But they were plus six in turnovers in both those victories. You don't see teams keep that kind of luck going on a week-to-week basis. So I'm going to go with Baylor in that one at home.
And they beat Central Michigan and Rutgers. So I understand when you're Kansas, two wins against anybody, I guess, is a big deal. But yeah, let's settle down a little bit, rock chalk Jayhawk types. Phil, do you have a number on the U of H TSU game, FCS, FBS? The Cougars figure to run it up.
I tell you, Vegas doesn't put their doggone numbers on those things until like
week,
Saturday morning, so they do not have a number on it. But yeah, Houston's going to be a hefty favorite over Texas Southern.
Did you guess 30, 35?
Yeah, I think that would be about it.
All right. Rice getting 14 at Southern Miss.
I'm going to lean with Rice in this one. You look at Southern Miss, they get back their suspended quarterback this week, which is a plus. But, you know, how good would he be playing in this game? Plus, Jack Abraham's done pretty well. He's hitting 71% of his passes. But they lost to ULM at home by 21-20, and last week's game got canceled. And when I look at Rice, as bad as that first week was, and I expected them to win the first week probably by like 40 points, and they end up basically losing, you'd almost say, to Prairie View A&M, only winning the game by three. They've played pretty well since. You look at the Houston game, they led that thing by a couple of scores in the third quarter. Hawaii's got a late return touch or a late touchdown on to win by 14. So I like how scrappy they are. Emmanuel Esiukuba is doing great at the running back spot, averaging 5.4 yards per carry. I think Rice can hang within the number there and give Southern Miss a game.
All right, Phil, that gets us to the Aggies and then the Longhorns. Let me start with A&M Alabama this way. There's a spread and a point, a disparity in the point spreads. I'm curious if you think that's properly reflected. If I could tell you, it's going to happen. As a matter of fact, Alabama or Clemson is going down Saturday. Would you definitely, oh, it's Georgia Tech that pulls it off, or no, the Aggies maybe might be the super shocker, if there's to be a super shocker?
I am going to have to say I would actually go, even though Georgia Tech's at home and the smaller dog, I'd have to lean with the Texas A&M, just because Kellen Mond is the type of quarterback that can give Alabama fits. He's mobile. Alabama really hasn't faced a quarterback like that. A&M last year at home almost knocked off Alabama, 27-19. They played a very good game. They were hyped up at home. Had a couple things go against them in the second quarter, which put them down, but they rallied back. And I think A&M's going to come into this game with a lot of confidence. Now, my take on the game, is that while it may be close at the half, I think Alabama pulls away in the second half and probably wins the thing by close to four touchdowns. But when I look at that Clemson-Georgia Tech game, I just have to look at Clemson's domination against the option of Georgia Tech. And sometimes coaches get it. They know how to defend the option. I'm going to go back to 3 years ago, 2015. Clemson held Georgia Tech to 230 yards, total offense, 71 yards rush. Then the next year, they take on Georgia Tech and hold them to 95 yards rush. This is a team that averages probably close to 300 yards per game, 95 yards rushing, 124 total yards. Last year, they played Georgia Tech. They're up 24-3. They gave up a garbage touchdown, which still irritates me. I had Clemson minus 14.5. But they gave up 230 total yards in the game, 10 first downs. Now they've got their best defensive front ever. And the advantage of the option is that you only have 1 week to prepare for it. Well, guess what? Clemson had last week to prepare for it. They played Georgia Southern, and they held Georgia Southern to 30 yards in the first half. Clemson knows how to defend the option. I think they dominate the game.
All right, on Alabama with A&M, I know they haven't faced a top-tier defense, but, I mean, Ole Miss isn't garbage. To have 49 at the board on the board at the half, I mean, even Jalen Hurts' family probably has to admit the right quarterback is playing, no?
Oh, you knew that at the start of the year. Yeah, it's because Tua is hitting 72%, gives him the downfield pass threat. And I'll tell you, Charlie, my main concern with Tua coming in was the possibility of turnovers because he had two big mistakes in that championship game last year. And so I was worried that all of a sudden this careful Jalen Hurts would be turned into some turnovers. He's got zero interceptions, so you have to love that.
All right, lastly, TCU and Texas, the Horned Frogs, the small favorite, in it with Ohio State into the second half, and in about 5 minutes of craziness took care of that. The Longhorns, meanwhile, emotional, huge win, record crowd. I mean, USC might not be any good, but Texas needed something to feel good about. What do you think? What do you think of that one in Austin?
Well, I tell you what, my thoughts on the TCU-Ohio State game was I actually liked TCU more for losing the game to Ohio State by 12. I thought they played a very good game, and as you touched on, if you take those 5 minutes away, TCU probably wins the game outright. I thought they controlled the other 55 minutes of the game. So very impressive TCU, and you have to be. Gary Patterson, one of the best head coaches out there. But Tom Herman's not bad. And as a home underdog, he's perfect. He's undefeated against the spread. The dog always does well in his games. I think they're starting to gain some confidence. I don't think they beat USC 37-14. It wasn't that much of a margin. You had the blocked field goal return for a touchdown. The yards were only plus 77. But I think this Texas team's getting better by the week. They're at home, and they need to end this losing streak to TCU. TCU's dominated the last 6 years. I'm going to call for the upset at home by Texas.
All right, Phil, on the way out, re-highlight your outlets.
You're a heck of a guy, Charlie. Once again, go to philsteel.com tomorrow morning. I'll have my my Phil Steel Plus special preview for you. Give you probably about 8 free plays and a lot of information. That is philsteel.com tomorrow morning for the Phil Steel Plus. And then also check out the website, InsideThePressBox.com. It's my newsletter, 55 games this weekend. I got write-ups on all 55 games, got my computer forecast on all 55 games, and that is InsideThePressBox.com. Type in the code word REDZONE. You'll get half off this week's issue, and you will get the entire season. You get $20 off any season package, InsideThePressBox.com.
Phil, thanks. We'll talk next week.
Have a good one, Charlie. Have a good weekend.
I didn't even crow about my orange. It's a long season after UConn goes down. We're 4-0, baby. We want Bama.
This is Nolan Ryan with two tips for better living. Don't charge a mile unless you're ready to do business, and listen to ESPN 97.5. Let's get ready.